Welcome one, welcome all to Hotel, the season that frankly is what got me interested in American Horror Story in the first place. When I'm joined by the person who tweeted about this when it was first live, Slow Beef. Hey, what's good?
Hello, I'm happy to tell you about it in a moment.
I am so excited to review. Like, it's one of those things where, like, I still remember some of the tweets but had no context, and now I'm like ecstatic to be able to finally get context. And I'm also joined by someone who was there, who was on the Reddits
in the trenches.
Hey, yo, Liz, what's good?
Hello,
Shadow Lovely in the trenches with the fans, holding out hope.
This is like, I officially started hate watching American Horror Story here, and my wife liked it, but I couldn't stand it because they did all this stuff, and
because it's wild. Yeah,
it's
yeah,
so bad.
I told Slow Beef, like, right before we started recording, that as I was rewatching it, I realized that I had suppressed almost everything about this season except for the fact that Lady Gaga's very hot. So like all of my memory of this, like the finer details, completely gone. It's just Lady Gaga was hot in it, and I just remember that for most of it. So I'm so excited to see where this goes. And by so excited, I mean, I'm here.
Yeah, this first one's definitely going to be a multi-parter because they try and, much in the same way every other American Horror Story season has done it, they really hit you in the head with a brick of setup on episode one and then, run out of time somehow anyway. They, like, build up as much time as they can in episode one and then just kind of fart around for, like, 10 episodes.
Yeah, I will say, to our credit, this episode is longer runtime-wise, which they started doing this. I don't know if this is the season they started doing this. They started doing this where the season premieres were, like, either an hour and 10 minutes or an hour and 30 minutes.
This one was like an hour and 10. If it was with commercials, this probably would have been like a full 90-minute affair, yeah?
For this sure. might have been where they started it. But they definitely started doing like 90-minute season premieres. I don't know why, because it's not like they figured out the pacing of the rest of their seasons or anything, but they've started doing longer first episodes. I guess because it was at the time, being someone who was in the trenches and like seeing people posting about it live on different forums and Reddit and whatnot. It did become kind of like the thing about American Horror Story was like, oh, it's the new season and we don't know what the theme is. So the season premiere is a very big deal because it's kind of setting the tone for what we can expect. Watching it retroactively streaming it does not carry the same favor that it did watching it live.
It's the thing too where I was rewatching it thinking like, I wonder if maybe it'll be better, like not as bad as I thought the first time around, especially with the context of having seen all the other. No, it's still really bad.
and I just want to get out in front of it right now. I had completely somehow, like in my mind, it wasn't even a possibility, and then 30 seconds to 90 seconds into the episode, I realized, I'm like, oh no, there are so many, and by so many, I mean like a handful, of famous horror movies and properties based around hotels. They wouldn't rip them all off, would they? They do, big style. And then for the rest of the episode, I was like, oh no, this is just one big ripoff, it turns out. For some reason, that didn't even cross my mind when I was thinking about, oh, we're doing Hotel next. I'm like, oh, I wonder if they're going to rip off a lot of the really famous movies that take place in a hotel. They do. So just get ready
all
for that. Yeah.
All of them.
Yeah. All of them. Like, even again, as the not horror member of the team here, even I was like, oh, that, even I know that. That's like The Simpsons referenced that shit better than you did.
Well, the wild thing is that even with a lot of like horror hotel things, like, you know, it's a very old horror trope of like the haunted innkeep, you know, and all that, right? Where the person's like staying the night at a weird place. But it's usually like remote and everything. And this one takes place in like Los Angeles. Like it's a city hotel. Like, there's a lot of people around. That's really hard to pull off. Sorry, yeah?
They very quickly start making completely insane excuses to try and work around this problem. Like, we'll get into it. But in fact, you know what? This we probably should get into it. So we start at the Hotel Cortez. A taxi pulls up, and two extremely Swedish blondes come out of the taxi cab, and they are big Hollywood movie nuts, I think. But they're by. They were trying to go to Universal Studios, like the studio, not the theme park, right? Because the theme park's in Florida, and they're not in Florida.
No, but there's one in LA though, by the studio. There's like an,
oh, is there?
Okay. Yeah, it's like the Disneyland Disney World thing.
Yeah. I was gonna say, okay. I think it's like the afterthought version of it. But I think they are literally together. I think they are like connected or like right next to each other. So they are interchangeable, like dimensions and also distance wise.
So I've been to the Universal Studio one, and so you know I'm doing this recording on another thing, and I'm getting a notification that's like screaming in my ear right now. I'm sorry about that. Let me just silence notifications. I was in the middle of talking all of a sudden from Slack. This person, so sorry about that. Anyway,
God damn, this guy's slacking off. Hold on, he's slacking it.
Where's the stupid notifications thing? God damn it. I'm so sorry about this.
But yeah, so oh no, you figure that out. I'll lead in with the thing I'm pissed off about. Which is, they have them come out and be like, oh, so how close is it? And he's like, oh, it's 10 miles away from Universal Studios, which I'm not sure if this is supposed to be a joke of like LA, you know, everything is actually very far away, or if it's supposed to be the joke of like to an American, 100 years is a long time, to a European, 100 miles is a far distance, like that kind of thing, mm-hmm. or if it's supposed to be on. How every single vacation website that is like within 100 miles of a theme park will be like just a short trip away. Like, they'd have shit like that in Jacksonville, Florida about like Disney World. They're like, oh yeah, you're like right there. And you are explicitly not right there.
That is basically what I was getting at. I've been to the Universal Studios in LA, which does let you tour the actual studio and everything.
Nice.
But like, you have to drive there. There's not like a ton of hotels around, or the ones that are there are like specific for Universal and expensive. So like, I do feel like there is like some kind of snobby LA humor happening where it's like, these tourists don't know you have to drive to every attraction, or you know what I mean? Cause it's like, that's like over in Anaheim. It's not near Hollywood, like the sign or like any, you know what I mean? Like everything's very far apart. So it felt a lot like that, but you know,
I don't even think it's that. I don't even think it's that smart. I think what it is there's this reoccurring bit that will happen for like the next 30 minutes of the television show featuring these two women. Named Agnetha and Vendela, and they look almost identical. For the rest of the show, I'm just going to confuse both of them the whole time. Where there's like this bit of like, oh, we didn't like really read the website. And it turns out this hotel sucks really bad and we don't want to be here. But they end up having to stay there. But like the running bit is that like everything sucks about it. So I think that they were just like, oh, and it's not close to the thing that the website said it was close to. I don't even think it's a clever joke or anything. I think they're just like, oh, this hotel sucks. Which I'm like, when they walk into the hotel, because they're about to walk into the hotel, and they do, I think this hotel looks sick as hell. Like, if I walk, they're like, nice. Ew, gross, it's old. I'm like, it looks cool as shit. Are you kidding me?
It's definitely
it's
a high class.
Classy in the lobby.
Yeah. Definitely like upper end, like kind of old style or whatever. And I could even get that they're not into that because they're here for like a tourism trip or whatever. But still, it's like it does not look like crap. You know what I mean?
But you know what the lobby does have, though? It has carpeting that I immediately, 8 seconds into this episode, clocked as like, huh. That looks an awful lot like if I were to draw the pattern, the very, 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 very recognizable pattern of the carpet from the hotel from The Shining for memory. That's crazy. And then roughly an hour later, the Amazon overlay will be like, yeah, the carpet in this hotel is based off of the carpet from the movie The Shining. And I was like, okay, so we are starting off strong with a direct ripoff of the very, very recognizable pattern of the carpeting from the movie The Shining. Good to know. You're not just hallucinating it. They are doing that, which is crazy because other places, like, I don't know if you guys have ever been to an Alamo Draft House. They just straight up use the carpet from The Shining as their carpet. Like, I don't think it's like trademarked or anything. It's just like a little nod. Like, I'm really surprised they didn't just sink to that level and just be like, ah, it's crazy. These two hotels have the same carpet. That's wild. That's so crazy. We didn't even plan this. That's so crazy. But yeah, it's got the Shining carpet.
Yeah, so they walk up to check in, and it has the old like bell ringer. Like, I don't know what you really call it, but you know what it is. Everybody knows, like,
the bell you ring for service. Bell. Yeah, just the desk bell. Yeah.
So
are you ready for some real crazy shit? Because these motherfuckers don't know how a hotel works.
Yep, they ring it and keep banging on it, and then finally Kathy Bates, or Iris, comes out and's like, yeah, I heard you, or whatever, and she's got her glasses, and she's in that ornery hotel front desk person mode. So basically, they're like, we don't want to stay here, and she's like, well, you gave your deposit in, and we don't do refunds, which, Liz, as you pointed out correctly, not how deposits work. And they're like, but we need that money to stay in Los Angeles. I can't do a Swedish accent, so we'll pretend that was...
New hotel. Yeah. Hello, we're two hot young blondes on the move, and we need dollars for another hotel. To which Kathy Bates says, no, welcome to America. Which, a lot of question marks in the notes, a lot of question marks in my spirit when I saw this scene as well. Just a lot of, like, what are you doing? You can't, like, that would be, like, the first thing is, like, okay, well, I'm going to go call my bank and tell them to cancel that charge, and you're, actually, fuck you, Kathy Bates.
Yeah.
Like, that's really, yeah.
Which, God bless, at least Kathy Bates' character doesn't have an accent in this season of the television show. She's just a lady who speaks like Kathy Bates normally speaks. But, yeah, like, they're like, can we get our deposit back? And she's like, no refunds. I'm like, that's not a refund. A deposit isn't a payment. Like, a deposit is a deposit. You can't keep it if you haven't tendered a service anyway.
And the best I could give them is sometimes they do the thing where it's like you put the first night on it, and then if you don't, like, you lose that because they lost out on the reservation. But it's one night. Like, if you really want to fuck up your vacation and staying here, okay. And also, like, do you really not have any money here? Like, you're two young people, but you flew here from Europe, so you must have a credit card or do, you know what I mean? Like, you're not, like, poor, you know,
a note, but I ended up, like, there's so many notes that I ended up deleting it, that said something to the effect of, like, wow, you really maybe shouldn't be taking a vacation to another country if one night's worth of hotel is a make or break for you, like, not being able to do anything. Like, if your budget is, like, that strict, where, like, the slightest, because, like, at the time, I don't know, one hotel room one night for one pair of ladies that only has one bed, maybe $200, $300. Like, if 200 or 300, that's like emergency money. You should have that, like, ready.
Yeah. The other confusing part is, like, this is a really nice upscale hotel. Like, this is, like, Gold Coast Chicago shit. Like, these are expensive-ass rooms. Like, these are not super cheap little rinky-dink-ass rooms. And, like, I guess the idea is, like, maybe they got it cheap because of, you know, everything that happens here. But yeah, it's a very strange sequence because, like, clearly the people who designed the set and, like, chose the shooting location chose a very nice, like, older, classy hotel. But then the writers were like, so it looks like a rundown piece of shit, right? And everyone in the set team was like, yeah, definitely.
No one would want to stay here. It's old and dusty and gross. No one likes that. Gross. Yuck.
Two Swedish girls in their, like, early 20s, maybe, you know, are going to party in L.A., so they'll pick the upscale classical hotel, like, in the, like, it doesn't work, but whatever.
Also, like, here's my biggest thing. For, like, the rest, again, it's a running bit for the first 30 minutes of the TV show, is them being like, ooh, this hotel actually sucks and it's gross. And I'm like, well, did you not read Yelp reviews on it or, like, look at pictures or anything? And then later, one of them will be like, I'm going to leave a bad Yelp review. So I'm like, okay, so you know Yelp exists because you have the character straight up say, I'm going to leave a bad Yelp review. I'm like, I have never booked anything ever and not looked at photos of it before I did it. Like, are you kidding?
especially if you're flying somewhere, you know, like it's not like you can get back easily. So and not only that, but like, well, you actually know what it is. I think the ghosts kill you if you're going to leave a bad Yelp review. So that's why, you know,
but also I would like to make I was going to do this at the beginning of the episode, but I forgot. I would like to make a called shot and it will have payoff by probably our next episode. But like, I would like to say that I think, especially watching this first episode of this season, that the whole entire premise of this season of television happened because during season one, I think someone said to somebody on the writer's team during season one, hey, Murder House is an awful lot like that song Hotel California. And then they were like, write that down. And that's how we got
season
5.
We're going to do the Hotel California. It's a sucky place.
Don't spoil the end of the episode, Ty. But,
yeah, sorry. Sorry, yeah. I know writers who use subtext and they're fucking cowards.
And then, so, like, yeah, one of the women says the hotel's retro, which is, like, I guess. And, yeah, and they are totally interchangeable. Like, yeah, one of them's Agnetha, one of them's Vendela, just as you note here. And it's, like, it does not matter. Like, they do not have different personalities or anything, really. So, whatever.
I literally think there are only two of them so that they can speak to each other in Swedish and have, like, narration that is not understood by Kathy Bates.
Yeah,
like,
right.
That's why there's
two. They're ripping
off
Hostel. If you haven't seen Hostel 2 or Hostel 1, this is, I think, their attempt at being like, what if you were traveling to a different country, but the hotel you went to was fucked up and evil, actually? Just keep that in mind.
What if you went to another country, but the other country was America? A completely crazy idea to stupid Americans.
But like, yeah. That's the thing, right? Because that's like the whole thing with Hostel and J-Hart. It's like, it's kind of like foreign, so you feel a little off a bit, you know? But this is like, they can't do that because it's a show for Americans that must, given the title, take place in America. Although I'm sure they'll fuck that up one day, you know? But like, so they can't
French horror story.
And then she's like, and then Iris is like, listen, why don't you stay? This place will grow on you, which is exactly not what you want to say to a hotel guest, but I guess Iris don't give a fuck. So as you note, Iris takes him to their room. Is this a thing that happens? I've done a lot of business trips in my day. I've stayed in a lot of hotels on vacation. No. This never
happens.
I would
assume I was getting robbed. If the like the person who checked me in at a hotel like walked me to my room, especially if it was on like the 8th floor or wherever she takes them, because it's a long elevator ride, I would assume I was getting robbed. Like,
yeah. If it was like a particularly nice hotel and there wasn't a lot going on, you might be able to be like, hey, can you help me bring my bags up? And they would like bring a bellhop for that. But like, just the front desk person, the front desk person, and there's no one else around, extra crazy. Yeah, not
a chance.
She doesn't
help them carry stuff, just to be clear.
No.
She just walks with them.
No, yeah.
Which is not something they do.
No, yeah, never. The bellhop usually like kind of takes their own little service elevator too. So they meet you at your room, they knock to make sure they're not interrupting you or anything. You know what I mean? They don't come with you like I'll just like walk you there like I'm your room chaperone. So
fair enough. I've never had to use a bellhop because I'm a big strong boy who lifts his own bag. So I didn't I was unaware of how the system worked.
Well, I'm lifting, so one day maybe I shall be a non-belt. No,
you're telling me though they have like a little special elevator just for the bellhop?
Yeah, because it's like a freight elevator. Because like on family vacations when I like have to take my wife and kids, we have like a bunch of bags and shit. So you put it on. They put it on one of those little rack things, and they can't take. They might take it in a regular elevator, but they're usually just not with you. Is the point? Like you go to a lobby elevator, and then like they meet you there. You hear like knock knock, like good day, Mr. Sawyer. Or whoever, you know, like, here's your bags. And then,
yeah, that's part of, like, the hospitality, quote-unquote, package, is, like, you not having to, like, mess with your own luggage.
But the point is, like, the fucking front desk person doesn't just leave their post and then just be like, well, if someone else wants to check in, too bad. I gotta walk these two idiots up to, like, the 20th like, floor or whatever.
Like she's doing an apartment showing or something. Like, what is the goal? She doesn't even unlock the door for them. They have the key. I don't know. It's...
Yeah. And then they're like, what is the Wi-Fi password? She's like, there's no Wi-Fi or cell service. There's a phone, but like long distance calls cost money. And yeah, like this is a very pertinent piece of information that Yelp or something or anything would have told you about, you know, you'd think. Yeah. But
no Wi-Fi is like insane in 2025 in an American hotel like that is, or in whenever this was.
2015, still like, insane.
2015,
still insane. Yeah, still crazy.
Hey, guess what, too? You're in Los Angeles. I bet you have Wi-Fi in that room from somewhere else.
I was going to say, other buildings probably have Wi-Fi.
And back in 2015, they didn't like secure everything. You could get like a free Wi-Fi signal so you could do something if you needed it. You know,
Starbucks next door definitely had Wi-Fi at the very least, like for real. Because again, as Slow Beef noted at the beginning of this episode, this is not a remote location. Maybe it was Ty that said it. This is not a remote location. This is like on a very busy thoroughfare, which
it was.
It was me.
I'm going to take the credit because I'm being shamed for using a bellhop, okay? So I'm going to take what I can get.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It's fine.
I didn't consider a family man. I didn't consider having more back.
No, it's okay.
I only care.
It's
I'm
okay.
a weak man, Slow Beef. I only care for myself. I'm a selfish lover. You caught me. No, it's like a super populated area. It would be wild. Like, here's the thing. If they really wanted to, they could have just like turned and walked out the front door and been like, okay, well, fuck you. Like, we're gonna go then. Like, that's not the fact that they are still on board for like, oh, you know what? You were rude as fuck to me and you said a bunch of nasty things. Yeah, I'm sold. All right, let's go.
Yeah, also pushback from these two. And like, I don't know if like I did actually look up to see because it was something that happens later. Like if anyone else had this like critique earlier when this show was airing. And like, apparently a lot of people are of the opinion that a lot of the things Iris says to these two women is like preying on the fact that they're not American. And I'm like, I don't care where I am, what country, if you're screwing me out of several hundred dollars and I know for a fact that you're screwing me out of several hundred dollars, I'm gonna get rude, especially if you're being rude to me. Like, you wouldn't just be like, oh, well, I guess this is how it is here. They just steal your money, teehee. Like, you like kind of, you have a little bit of pushback. At the very least, I would be like, can you show me in my contract where it says that you don't give me my money back?
And they speak English, so it's not even like they're in some far off country where it's like, shit, I don't even know how to get back to the airport here or anything. Like, I kind of need this hotel. It's like, you have recourse. You can go to a police station. You can go to, like, there's options, you know? It's like,
no pushback. They're just like, okay, that sounds right. Well, guess we live here now.
Right.
And then they do.
Yeah, and then they have their little, like, their airplane bottles of liquor, because they're bad girls, you know? And, she's like, oh, where's ICE? And then, I know, Kathy Bates is like some insane direction. Like,
Kathy Bates goes into their room with them. She doesn't just walk them to the room. She goes into the room with them for some reason, which is like, okay, the walking to the room, whatever. That's already weird. But going into the hotel room and just being like, hey, guys, you want to unpack? Like, what's so weird?
And what's even worse about this is not only is it a nonsensical action, but also, based on something that happens later, which is the room smells really bad, they would have noticed it. People are really quick on noticing something smells like shit. That's not like a thing that takes a lot of time. Like, there have been times where I've, like, walked into a room where someone did not take, like, the chicken out of the trash for too long, and it's, like, instant. Like, you're just like, oh, fuck, like, as soon as it hits you. Yeah, like a rotting corpse is not something where you would like mull about for like 4 hours and be like, hey, do you smell something funny? Like, it would just be a gut reaction of like, oh my God, it smells like a corpse in here. No.
America sure is wacky.
And you know what? Even if we're going to afford, maybe the smell comes later because magic horror stuff. When what's her face, when one of these jerks is on her way to get ICE, right, she goes by a maid who's cleaning a bloodstain off a sheet and talking like a 50s lady, like, ghastly thing happened in this room. And it's like, that's like a point where you're like, you know what? Nah, I'm out of here. This is too much. Like, there's fucking blood in the sheets. Like, come on. So,
yeah,
but
she's
whatever.
Cleaning it in the hallway, which, like, first of all, why are you cleaning a sheet in the hallway. Second of all, we're not near room 51, which is where she says the quote unquote terrible accident is. So why did you bring the sheet all the way over here covered in blood?
And by the way, American Horror Story, I am not remembering room 51 if you're going to reference that like 3 weeks later on the next episode or whatever. You know what I mean? Like, because they do other rooms where it's like, oh, room 33. Like, I'm not doing that, you know? Like,
yeah.
So
for the podcast, I'm keeping note of it to see if they rip off The Shining.
Right. No, yeah, for the purpose of the podcast, we'll keep track. But as a normal viewer, like, I'm not going to take these notes. Like, what are you, crazy? Like, it's room 51. Oh, yeah, the maid room. I
like
get that
area
reference.
Area 51. Yeah. Get it? It's scary. A terrible accident happened there. Which, by the way, we didn't mention. When they were walking to the room with Kathy Bates, they do this all the time, where when someone's walking through the hallway, there's just, like, hella noises coming from all the rooms. And there's, like, sex noises and, like, screaming and, like,
babies crying and shit.
I'm like, can I not be in this on this floor where all this noise is happening? If I can hear this happening from the hallway, I'm definitely going to hear it from my room. So, like, can I not?
Yeah. This is where you turn to the concierge and you go, what's the best way for us to get through this situation? What can we do here to get me out of this fucking nightmare floor? Like, that's, yeah, immediately. You just make it a collective problem for you and them so that they cannot back out of it. And, yeah, man, this sucks. And I had posted earlier about, like, watching Hotel and stuff. And I think this was the point where someone posted this, and this is like exactly what pissed me off so bad, is there's a difference between a little stupid and reckless versus lacking in all self-preservation instinct. And when she walks by that sheet that's like fully bloodied up with like a ghost maid being like, whoa, something really bad happened in there. Don't be around here. Like, you gotta go, man. You gotta
right?
go. Like, there's nothing that would keep me there. Yeah, nothing.
Like, you know, nothing else, too. It's like, I think housekeeping is, like, one lady. You know, like, I think we can't do this. Like,
and she's doing stuff in the hallways. She doesn't even have, like, a laundry room to go work in. She just has to do this all in the hallway, I guess.
I didn't get turned down service. Yeah, that's happening next week because we have fucking Martha doing all 1,000 rooms. Like, get the ridiculous, but... So, like, so she turns the corner, and, oh, yeah, here we go. There's a little kid, and he's blonde and scary, and he loves berries and cream, and he's looking, and he points behind her, and there's a...
If you're enjoying this podcast and are interested in supporting us or having access to additional bonus episodes, consider subscribing to our Patreon over at patreon.com/greatandterribleahs. Supporters who pledge $5 or more a month will get access to our monthly Patreon exclusive episode in which we discuss various American Horror Story spinoffs, such as American Horror Stories. Thank you again for listening, and we hope to see you around next week.
Twin behind her. And just as you point out, that's not The Shining. Shining, they were together, the two girls, and they were girls. This is different.
This is different because they're boys. They're boys, and they're on opposite ends of the hallway.
And the way they point at each other and then pan the camera to look at the other one, there's this like old Lemmy show sketch where it's like he's just like hanging out, and then he sees another copy of himself pointing at him from really far away, and it like keeps zooming to just different versions of Lemmy making a stupid fucking face and pointing at himself, and it's framed exactly like that, and it's all I could think about. As soon as they panned over to like a second kid pointing back, I was like, ah, yeah, yeah. Like, it's the exact Paranoia Agent opening. It's so good. Oh shit, yeah. And it also is blatantly The Shining. It's like so obviously a ripoff of The Shining but wrong that it's like almost more upsetting. It's like, did you not see The Shining? Like,
someone told them about The Shining one time and they were like, oh, okay.
Can you imagine too? So like some little kid's pointing at you and you're going to get ice and you think nothing's wrong, but you don't say anything to the kid. Like, you don't acknowledge it at all. You're like, well, I'm getting ice and I am laser focused on that. So whatever, kid. Like,
well,
don't even say hi.
Yeah. That's the crazy thing is like the two kids like point at each other and then like one of them, the one behind her, runs off and she chases him. I'm like, kids play
in
hallways.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I'm sorry.
In like hotels. Like, you as an adult human who is a stranger to this child... would not chase after them.
No.
Unless they, like, stole your wallet or something. You wouldn't just chase a random kid to see where they went. Like,
you'd probably be like, oh, hey, kid. You wouldn't be like, oh, we're playing tag. I'm in. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I was literally thinking, like, it would just be like, yeah, like, oh, hey, slugger, what's good? You need something? Like,
yeah.
Yeah, like, you talk to them like they're a child. Because they're a child.
I'm going
to
get you. Like, it's not like a dog. Yeah. Like.
Yeah, it's like a riled up dog. And you're like, oh, I got to chase now. They ran, so that initiated my prey drive. And now I have to chase this child down. Oh my god. And then the kid is gone. When she turns the corner, the kid is gone, but the maid is still there, which is nothing for anyone. And then when she goes back to get ice, the other boy is gone too. But a really, really bedazzled glove is reaching out for the back of her head, and then it disappears, which feels too specific to not be a ripoff of something, but I don't know what it is. It just is way too specific of a scene for it to not be a ripoff.
It feels like just like kind of that general horror movie trope of the hand reaching behind you and you turn and nothing's there kind of thing. And it's just, in this case, it's a bedazzled glove because if they're like, if we change it like just a tiny bit, then it's ours, you know, except for the ending of the movie Freaks. But anyway, sorry. But so anyway, she gets her ice. They go back to the room. And they're both like, God, it smells awful here. And the other one's like, I know, I lit all my scented candles in the hotel room that we're in.
Insane. Insane thing to bring. Like, literally the fucking drill tweet of, like, you know,
my family,
$1,000, food, $500, candles, $36,000, spend less on candles. No.
Like, how long was she gone for the ice, too, that all these candles burned down? Like, you know what I mean? Like, but...
You've been gone and for then, 3 weeks, Agnetha, please.
Then, like, if this can't get any sillier, they call the front desk. Kathy Bates is like, yeah, it's a musty hotel. Turn on the AC on high. And they're like, but it smells bad. And she, like, kind of hangs up, if I remember. And then, like, then one of them's like, hold on a minute. And then, like, sniffs the bed, pulls it open, and the mattress is, like, stitched together, like, badly stitched.
Like, as though it were a big piece of human skin. Like, they intentionally make it look like gigantic stitching.
Right. Yeah. And then she's like, I'm going to cut this open. And the other one's like, what about our security deposit? Which is, like, question two I have there. The first one being, what the fuck is wrong with you? But, like, she goes to cut it, and she's like, to hell with our security deposit. And she starts to cut open the mattress stitches. And
what is the best case scenario here? I need to ask. What is the best case scenario here? Like, dead raccoon?
I mean,
like,
weirdly enough, for me, the best case scenario is what happens, which is Alex Ward pops out of the mattress. Because that, for me, would be like, oh, shit, Alex, what's good? Oh, nice. Finally get to meet you, man. Sick.
I guess they're hoping it's like, oh, thank God, it's just a rotting pork chop. We could just throw that out the window and the room won't smell.
Yeah, go back to bed on it, I guess.
Like some wall meat, like Castlevania or some shit. I have no idea what they're expecting, but like, yeah, it's a fucking guy, and he's like all covered, like flesh monster-y guy, and he comes out, and they're like, and then he just screams with them, like, ah! So,
that is so on brand for Alex.
And then the opening sequence happens, and it's neon lights and a violin playing along as the leitmotif, and the people's names are sometimes switched out real quick for a couple of the Ten Commandments.
I wonder if that will be relevant later. That's so crazy.
I know. It really
you mean
is.
Like in the movie Seven?
It's like the movie Seven, but with three more.
Not at all like the movie Seven, Ty. Not at all like the movie Seven.
No. Better because okay. 10 is bigger than 7, you see.
Yeah.
You know what?
And it's an
that's
even number.
What they say.
Yeah.
Yeah.
God, I can't wait for that.
Yeah, whose
part.
Favorite number is 7? What a chump. Well, anyway, so they call Kathy Bates.
How?
They're riding down in the elevator. And yeah, so again, this is like an insane thing to go back and forth with, because this is the most, like, I was already pissed when she walked past like a ghost maid who was like, wow, so much blood. Huh? Like, now they're like in the elevator with Kathy Bates being like, what the fuck was that? We need the police. And she's like, hey, girls, I'm as messed up about this as you are, so let's all calm down.
We're all looking for the guy who did this. Is Kathy Bates wearing a hot dog costume? Like, truly, like, the non-urgency of Kathy Bates being like, listen, we're all really upset about this.
She really is
so
like
funny.
That. I'm just as mad as you are, huh?
Well, hey, whoa. The leopards want my face too, miss. Like, let's calm down.
And she's like, don't worry. I called the police. They're on their way. You got to stay here, though, and give them your statement. But if you try to leave, they'll arrest you for evasion. What?
Yeah. So this was the very stupid excuse I was trying to foreshadow a little earlier. Is, yeah, they're like, hey, so we're not fucking staying here because a demon just popped out of the mattress and smelled like death and like everything else. And Kathy Bates is like, well, it's America, and if we call the police to show up, if anyone leaves, everyone's in trouble, even the police. Like, everyone's in trouble.
Except for the guy in the mattress. Evasion. He gets to leave.
Except for the guy.
But like,
evasion, because he gets to evade on out because you didn't follow law, right? Like, it's so dumb.
I will say, I don't know if you scrolled back in the group chat when that happened, but I literally Googled evasion, like, can you get arrested for evasion or something to that effect? And the exact first response, the first answer is a post on the American Horror Story Reddit going, hey, what was up with Kathy Bates telling the two Swedish women they couldn't leave for evasion? That doesn't mean anything. And I'm like, yeah, that makes sense.
The thing is, too, like, even if you were to buy into that she's tricking them because they're not American, they might not know how it works. This is like a life or death thing. Like, a fucking guy, like a monster guy, came out of your mattress in your room. Like, at this point, it's like, no, I think I gotta tell the police or fucking take my chances with jail because I'm gonna get murdered in the hotel.
Yeah, I'm gonna wait outside the front door. It's fine.
My ass is getting on a plane back to Sweden and being like, fuck America. Yeah. All y'all crazy. Like, that's,
Vin Diesel isn't
no
worth
this. No way
am
I sticking around for this shit. Yeah, fuck Vin Diesel. Fuck the Iron Giant. Fuck all this. I'm out. I'm leaving. America stinks.
Imagine what happens at, like, night in a remote part. This is like downtown LA. There's a monster here. This trip's not getting better. Like, So somehow, though, they're like, okay. And then Iris is like, here, we have this hotel room for you to stay in. And they're like, you said all the rooms were booked. And she's like, we don't read this one out. And yes, this is room 64. And then it's 1 hour later, which is like, like, you stayed, but
okay. The police didn't show up and you were like, police are really slow in one of the biggest cities in America. That's crazy.
And then the one's like, I'm going to give this hotel a bad Yelp review. You saw a monster! Like, what the fuck? Like, we're past that!
A really bad Yelp review. A really, really bad Yelp review.
Is this, like, common in Sweden, maybe? Like, are there just monsters in the hotels? They're like, this one smelled real bad.
Well, that's why they cut the mattress open. They were like, I wonder if this mattress has a weird, freaky, used condom man inside. And then they cut it open, and they're like, God damn it. It's just like home.
You just lost a star, Hotel Cortez.
I will say, these women are able to relax through shit that would keep me up for days. Because if I got jumped by the demon man, my ass would not be napping. I don't really nap in general.
On another
but I would
bed
like
in the hotel.
Nap.
And another bed in
yeah,
the hotel.
On another bed in the hotel. Yeah, in the same hotel. Like, my ass would not be napping there. No shot. No way.
I hate that. They do it a lot in American Horror Story where they're like, well, I know we're in the middle of something really traumatic. Not like it's over, but like we're in the middle of it.
Time to go to bed.
Yeah, I gotta get my 4 hours of sleep or else I'll die. I'm like, I've stayed up for so much less than me maybe getting like murdered. Like, I've stayed up for 24 to 48 hours for so much less than that. And these people are like,
I've stayed
no.
up for like 20 hours because someone said something particularly mean to me. Like, these motherfuckers. I got, like, almost got killed. Nap time.
Yeah, I can. Yeah. I can work myself up, or should I imagine people saying to me? It's like, this is crazy. God damn it. Like, I bet he would say that. That piece of shit. Like, I can't sleep.
What an asshole.
I'm going.
Post about this.
I'm not staying in this hotel another second, but anyway.
Yeah, they had Twitter at the time because Slow Beef was tweeting about this.
That's true. They had options, but...
The radio alarm goes off and one of them wakes up because they somehow fell asleep on one of the beds in the hotel, like not only a few hours after almost getting killed in one of the beds in the hotel. And then she like wakes up and goes out to oh no, where's my sister, wife, girlfriend, friend, traveling partner, companion, roommate? And then goes in there, and her sister, wife, companion, partner, traveling roommate is getting eaten by the two little lads who love berries and cream. You're right. These kids both, these are two children with Victorian dying disease, for sure.
Yeah.
And... and it really is like she's like shredded and like bleeding all over the place. And they're just kind of like gnawing on her absentmindedly. Like, yum.
She's going to be fine, though, sweet. By the way. In about like 20 minutes, she's going to be fine. Like, this never happened for some reason. Like,
holy shit. I didn't even think about that. You're right. They're just like, she's just better. And like,
no marks on her or anything. She's just fine now.
Right. And there's kind of a kind of reason you could like reason yourself into, but I think they should at least mention it. Later, like, this is totally a scene that won't happen. They're like, we need a little scare, just throw this in, whatever. And then the next part happens. God damn it.
Okay, we've now officially entered, just so we're clear, we've officially entered the B plot of this season of American Horror Story, and it's kind of the A plot, but like, it's mostly the B plot. It's definitely the B plot of this episode, in my opinion, because it doesn't involve Lady Gaga very much. It does involve our next main character, of which they have picked the most generic name that they could possibly give a man, Don. Which is John. And he's played by Wes Bentley, who was Edward Wardrake in the previous season.
That's who it was.
Edward Wardrake is here. I have noted for most of these, I've noted who they were in previous seasons, just to try and keep, to help other people visualize also. And he is at a different hotel now.
Yeah, just somewhere else entirely.
He's a detective also. He's a detective, and this opening scene is the most, like, doing a bit so about mad. A detective show that I've ever seen in my life.
He's not the detective from Seven, for sure. No. He's definitely a different original character and not just that guy.
That's right. That's absolutely true, okay? He's such a good detective, I can't tell you. So, yeah, and then they do the whole cliche, like, another detective walks up, and then this one guy's like, both victims were chloroformed as soon as they walked into the hotel. Like, well, how do you know that? Like, what?
And did no one do anything about it? If they know that it happened, did no one stop it? They were like, that's fine. It's fine.
Plus, they're going to imply it's one killer, so this guy, like, dual hands, like chloroform on two people, drags them both away at once in a hotel lobby, and nobody sees this or anything.
Honestly, impressive. Hugely impressive on the part of this guy, for what it's worth. Like, if you can manage to double-hand it, hell yeah, brother.
Also, frankly, doesn't make sense because of the position they ended up in. Like, it'd be a lot easier to just, like, wait. And then just, like, swap the lube with some cyanoacrylate and call it a night, you know?
Jeez.
So they go into the room, and there's a dead woman who has been, like, speared through the chest, mounted on top of a man who has his eyes and tongue cut out. Notably, the man is alive and is clearly in a lot of pain, and they're like, well, we gotta document the crime scene before we take the nails out of this guy's hands.
Get the fuck out of here, seriously.
Or render any kind of aid.
He's bleeding! from so many places and he has so many probable infections. Every second is like 2% less likely this man is going to survive. It is really bad. And they're just like, eh, leave him up there a minute. He'll be okay.
We can't touch evidence and he's technically evidence, which is like something you would say in like the Naked Gun or a comedy detective thing. But
and by the time that like our guy, John, because we don't even try to make up a name for the other detective because he doesn't matter. But like the main guy, John, our detective, the one who has the magical not seven powers. By the time he shows up, all of the other people at the scene have like all of the information done and like have done all their pictures. So that means that that guy's already been like documented and like taken care of. And they're like, no. Our special guy, John, who can look at a crime scene and have a weird, like, Jimmy Neutron brain blast about it and come to the most simple, easy-to-understand decision that any person looking upon the scene would understand.
Yeah.
It's incredible because he has this really arrogant thing where, like, the guy's like, we've already, like, documented everything. It's already been documented. He goes, yeah, not by me.
Not by me, Columbo Jr.
It's so
I'm ready.
Bad. Go for it.
The guy on the bed, by the way, he has his tongue and his eyes cut out. Like, his ears still work. So he's, like, in agony, pain, like, nailed to a bed with a woman on top of him, like, blind and unable to speak. And hearing these people, including an EMT who goes, whoa, this guy's in a world of hurt. Which, like, help him! What's wrong with you?
Don't help him, because John notices that there's a bunch of framed photos of the man and the woman with different people, and it's like they're married, but not to each other, which is like they were cheating on their spouse.
Slowbeef is severely underselling this. There are roughly 50 to 100 framed photographs of the two people in the bed, like around the bed in a circle with like candles in it, and all of the photos, and the eyes have been blacked out in like the most... truly, like, we could not be spoon feeding you the information more than we actually are in this setup. It's basically like a tutorial level for a video game.
Yeah. AI result for make a horror movie set where a murder happened.
Yeah.
Like the first rev. Yeah, it's so generic.
It's like, well, you know, in Seven, he had all those journals. What if this guy has just a bunch of photos and he blacks out all the eyes? He's crazy, just like Kevin Spacey. Yeah, you know, it's just not.
Yeah, he's like, they were cheating on their spouses. That these two people are cheaters and their families were blind to it. I'm like, A, that's usually how cheating works. And B, incredible job, Columbo. Did you reach that by seeing that all of their eyes were cut out of all the photos? Is that where you came to this conclusion?
Move over, John Doe, the killer of Seven. Anyway, so here's our detective, John Lowe. And he's going to figure out, like, God damn it.
Now they have the stupidest thing so the guy on the bed is yelling, you know, can someone take the nails out of my fucking hands? I'm in like a lot of pain here. And they're like, sir, we got to get you out of here. And then John picks up a bottle of super glue that apparently everyone just did not notice that there was a bottle of cyanoacrylate and goes, wait, no, he's not saying get me out of here. He's saying get me out of her because his dick is glued up in her pussy. If it's anything. And it's like, no, man, what are you talking about, bro? He probably also doesn't want nails in his hands, you stupid asshole. He probably wants both of these things gone.
Also, like, her and here aren't that close. Like, this works if, like, people spoke in text, like a fucking video, like a text adventure game or a dialogue box. But it's not a rebus or, like, a crossword puzzle, man. It's like,
the code. He really said, get me out of her. And also, like, the next thing he says, it poses a very interesting question. It's like, you know how there's, like, okay, hold on, let me frame it this way. So the next thing he says is, you're going to find a lot of male potency drugs in his system. Test him for drugs. You're not going to be able to detach him from the woman's vagina. You're going to have to take him with the corpse. And I'm like, first and foremost, I'm sure the EMTs have something for super glue. People probably do stuff with super glue all the time.
Not only there's like specific things that happen a lot, like one of the most common occurrences before they started making sure they had very differently shaped bottles was people who needed eye drops for like either eye conditions or like normally they would have glasses but they had to put in eye drops would accidentally pick up cyanoacrylate and super glue their eyes closed. We have specific solvents that are pretty good at breaking down that and not too much more. Because the way super glue attaches to you, it's actually really interesting. It relies on the imperfections in your skin to create like a very tight bond. But yeah, to answer your question, yeah, people get stuck with cyanoacrylate fucking all the time. We literally used it as a wound sealant. That was the first thing it was developed for, was it was really good at sticking skin together.
So yeah. On that note, going back to what I was trying to pose as our now new riddle, I think that they have developed here. So as we mentioned before, his eyes are removed, his tongue is removed, his hands are nailed to the bed, a la a crucifix. He is bleeding like a lot. Like he's lost like a lot of blood and is still losing like a lot of blood. Who would win? Like 5 Viagras or critical blood loss? Which would the boner win? Like which way does the boner go? Because you need blood for that. So like
Who wins,
the Viagra or the blood loss?
I don't know. I've never like been bleeding out while
I've never had to like
take a Viagra and bleed out. That's insane.
This means that the killer jerked this guy off while he was unconscious so that he could do this weird puzzle piece thing.
Oh my god, you're right. Yeah, that's the only way it works, right?
That's why I was like, it would make so much more sense if he like fucking home alone him and just like swapped the lube for a bottle of super glue and was like, I gotcha, Joker's trick, and then like put nails through his hands.
Because I was thinking like there was some Tecmo's deception trap that had to happen where like they're having sex on the bed and the spear trap comes out and then the nail trap hits him too and then stuff happens. But, like, he chloroformed them, so you're right. He has to give this guy a hand job to start it all off, right?
Yeah. First thing we've learned, this guy can raise the dead with his hands. Second of all, this guy's really strong, because that's like 2 bodies. And then that's like a lot to move in.
And you gotta like guide that shit onto the dick. You know what I mean? Like you're holding a person and trying to get them. That's
sometimes
tough.
It's hard when it's 2 people and they're both awake and they're trying to make it happen and they're sober. Sometimes it's difficult to do the logistics.
And you know when he's nailing that hand in that she fell off of him. He's like, God damn it. And has to like lift her up again.
He knocks over like 48 of the 50 framed photos on the ground. Like, God damn it, I should have done that part last. This sucks.
And like, the really confusing thing too is she's like propped up by the spear going through her chest and into the headboard. But that would mean he had to like stab it through her and then lift her up and then stab it into the board. Just like she was unconscious.
I fear this is also a ripoff of Friday the 13th. The whole like 2 people having sex and a spear goes through the lady. Like that's a Friday the 13th ripoff thing that
they're doing, but
it doesn't make any sense because these 2 people were unconscious when it happened.
Maybe, like, it's, like, this is the only way I can keep her steady is I need to, like, put a pin in her, kind of, you know? Like,
falling over.
Good thing I brought a harpoon with me in the hotel room.
Put in my harpoon gun.
Like, what fucking hotel is not noticing any of this chloroforming and spirit bringing in? Like, what?
I'm a marine biologist. I need this.
Can I have a bellhop bring up my spear, please? My harpoon? Like, oh, absolutely, sir.
Also, sir, when we have you here, we did see you chloroform 2 people in the lobby. No, you didn't. No, you didn't. It's
fine. The bellhop bring them up, too? Well, I don't know, sir. Well, I am part of your rewards program. Oh, okay. Yes, platinum member. I see. We can bring them all right up. It's fine.
And like, some super glue? You said you need some super glue? Yeah. We can bring that to your room. It's fine. What about my 50 framed photos of someone else's family? Can you bring those up as well? Yeah, we got it.
You got it. Sir, I'm afraid we don't have super glue. Oh, we can't get a good hotel anywhere in this city. Bum, 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 bum. Anyway.
So, So they say, when they're like, okay, we got to get this guy out of here, but you have to take him with the, you have to take him with the corpse. But then afterwards they say, cut him loose. And the guy yells, and I'm like, are they supposed to imply that instead of just taking both of them with or bringing solvent here, their solution was, gotta cut this guy's dick off. That's the only way we're getting him free. Impossible otherwise.
And then once he says that, they get a little shot of the guy going like, rah! Which, like, look, man, you've had a horrible day anyway. You know, like, I get what we're doing with the little, like, oh, I'm going to lose my dick. No, but it's like you lost your eyes and your tongue. And you know what I mean? You're probably going to die also. So, whatever.
Yeah, at this point, it for a penny and for a pound, yeah, man.
It's just not your day.
Maybe just give him some morphine. Maybe before we do anything, we give the guy who's clearly in, like, tremendous amounts of pain some morphine. Like, he doesn't need to see for that. So just, like, give him a little shot. There's, like, I'm sure you got morphine on that bag. Like, just give him a little bit. Something. Or knock him out. That's also another option. Put him back to sleep so that he doesn't have to live through the horrors.
You know, not to be weird, but were his feet secured by anything? Because I would almost feel like he would try to, like, snake his way out, kind of stand up, sort of, like, wriggle, you know what I mean? And be like, ah, shit, she's stuck on me somehow, or, you know. But
remember, these two people were not, like, actively having sex when they got chloroform. This was, like, a weird, like, staged event. So, like, do you think he woke up, no tongue, no eyeballs, hands, like, nailed to the wall behind his head, and then he's like, also, something's on my dick. I don't know what it is, but something feels is like on my dick.
Well, if I'm here, I'm busting a nut.
Plastic prison. What is this?
I think at that point, it's like, I can't even fault him for, like, trying to, like, blow his load. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, come on. You might.
Like, I'm already here.
When life gives you lemons, okay?
Like, I mean, honestly, that may be the only way out of it. If he still has, like, an erection this much later.
I'm going to bust myself free. Yeah. I'm going to launch myself out of here.
Right. Exactly. It's a good thing Viagra doesn't do heart stuff either on this side also, but whatever.
Yeah. Well, it's good because it raised his blood pressure, and then we removed a lot of blood, which lowered his blood pressure. So it's, like, right in the middle. So he's Gucci
the sweet spot,
at the moment.
The sweet spot of Viagra versus extreme blood loss. This guy knows everything.
Yeah, the real fear we have now is if he gets too low on Viagra. So somebody better
like
start giving this
Craig.
Guy blue chew right now.
He's like, you might as well castrate me. I'm never getting a boner this perfect ever.
the highest apex. Highs and the lowest lows for this poor man.
Yeah. Like someone who, like, eats a piece of watermelon that then ruins all watermelon for them in the future.
Yeah, basically.
The ultimate priapasm.
I know. Yeah, because if you think about it, Sue's like, no, I need my dick to never, ever have sex again because holy shit, the trauma. But whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. Also, I feel like this kind of deflates that one guy's discovery of being like, oh, he's saying get me out of her, because, like, he doesn't know what's on him. Like, I guess maybe he could, like, suss it out and, like, be like, well, maybe this is the lady that I came to cheat on my wife with on top of me, but I can't see her, and we weren't having sex when this happened, so I'm not sure.
I still feel like there's no world where your priorities are, you gotta get me out of the pussy first. You know what I mean? Like, the nails are fine. I can't see, but
if anything, you'd be like, can we please save the puss for last?
That's the only thing keeping me going at this point, I'll be honest.
Yeah.
He's probably like, I don't even know what my dick is in right now, but please don't take it off. It is the only thing keeping me sane.
My comfort weighted blanket for my dick.
That's why you shouldn't cheat on your wife, everybody. This is very important.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my god. Yeah, they had to end that on a jump scare of him screaming, though. Like, literally, it's a jump scare. They're like, cut him loose! And then, like, can you imagine just saying that in front of this specific person? Like, being like, cut him loose! Like, you couldn't word that a little better?
Get this piece of shit out of here! Fucking adulterer asshole! Ah!
Yeah. Also, like,
Oh, yeah. By the way, get ready for this season to have more than its normal share of, I see you did a single crime. You deserve the worst thing imaginable. Or sometimes not even a crime, just something that I find morally questionable.
Yep.
You deserve to be fucked to death. Like, it's really wild the way they escalate in this.
It is. It is. It is. Oh, man.
Yeah. So we said this was going to be multi-part. We weren't sure whether it was going to be two or three. I cannot overstate that we are maybe 5 minutes, 10 minutes into this hour and
10 minutes, maybe, I think, right?
Episode. Yeah. This is the setup of this. Of definitely not the movie Seven. And the main character of the movie Seven. And also the Lady Gaga plot.
Yeah, spoilers for next time. The guy literally like calls the detective directly after goes to call him and then gets the secretary who's like, yeah, he's not taking calls, and then just like calls him directly on his phone anyway. He's like, hey, fuck you, you rude piece of shit. I'm gonna go kill a guy. Like, he just straight up like does that. Like, they couldn't make it any more. Like, there's not a tentative connection or anything. He just calls him and is like, hey, man, you need to answer my fucking calls.
Yeah, I decided I can call you directly now. I tried to call you at work and you didn't answer, so now I'm going to call you directly, which I probably should have done the first time in hindsight, honestly.
Also, maybe my secretary should have made a mention of, oh, he says he's a killer. real fucking relax, I'm a murderer vibes from this guy.
Wait, do police detectives get secretaries, like people to take their calls? Like, do you have an assistant? No. Like, what? Like, get...
He's an important secretary having detective because he can look at a bunch of photos that very clearly indicate the motive of the killer and the reason why they did the crime, and then figure it out.
Darlene, hold my calls, and are you done cutting that guy loose yet? Like, oh, man.
I'm excited for him to show up at the crime, the next scene of the crime, and be like, there's so many candles here. What happened?
I get it. The killer was hidden inside the mattress that he sewed up from the inside, I bet.
And he was stinky.
Get these bitches out of here. Cut them loose. Like, out of what? They're dead. No, it doesn't matter. I hate everyone.
Oh, except they're not dead, which we'll get to next time.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, that lady who was, like, cut up and bled out on the floor and non-responsive being chomped on by some toddlers. Yeah, she lives. I'll just spoil that too. She lives. You're not going to believe how. Well, till next time, folks. Thanks for listening.
Bye.